You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. I'm Chuck Smith. This week, commentator Gary Joyner looks at what goes into a presidential legacy with a closer look at Warren G. Harding.
Some U.S. presidents have risen to lofty heights of admiration during their presidencies. Others secure a level of great respect only after they die. George Washington has consistently been first in war, first in peace, and first in the hearts of his countrymen. Other venerable U.S. presidents include Abraham Lincoln, Franklin D. Roosevelt, and Theodore Roosevelt. But on the presidential list of fame, there are both winners and losers. Today, we'll consider one of those less beloved national leaders, Warren G. Harding. Only one other presidency rivals the scandals of Harding's, and that was the presidency of Ulysses S. Grant. Both men were well-liked at the beginning of their terms. The public assumed both to be honest. In Grant's case, that was true. However, in Harding's, it was not. Both had long-suffering wives who were helpmates. Grant and his wife shared a close bond and mutual respect. Harding had affairs before and during his presidency. Both men rose to the highest office of the land soon after major wars. Most important, both surrounded themselves by friends who became crooked advisors and whose top priority was their own interest rather than those of the nation. Harding did have some excellent company. His Chief Justice of the Supreme Court was ex-President William Howard Taft. An ex-Secretary of War and sometimes confidant was Robert Todd Lincoln, son of Abraham Lincoln. His vice president was Calvin Coolidge, not a barn burner, but a steadying influence. Harding's major problem was his cabinet. A greater den of thieves has not been gathered to that level before or since. Many members of the cabinet used their posts to steal from the government. Harding's knowledge of the details of these actions is still debated today. But as a man who had served as a newspaper publisher, a state senator, and a lieutenant governor, it is not likely that he was unaware of what was going on. The most famous scandal in his administration was called the Teapot Dome. It concerned bribes and the sale of oil leases in Wyoming. Teapot Dome was the best known physical feature in the region. Albert Fall, the Secretary of Interior, was eventually convicted of the abuses and, in 1931, a decade after Harding's presidency began, he became the first cabinet member to go to prison. During the administration, a top aide to the Attorney General destroyed incriminating documents and then committed suicide. The head of the Veterans Bureau took bribes and led illegal alcohol and drug rings during Prohibition. He was jailed for 2 years, and one of his aides also committed suicide. Harding maintained that he had no knowledge of these dealings. He told a journalist that, "I have no troubles with my enemies, but my damn friends, they're the ones that keep me walking the floor at night." At least one historian has suggested that Harding was a member of the Ku Klux Klan, and that he was inducted in a secret ceremony performed in the White House. This has not been substantiated, but it certainly adds to the cloud of doubt hanging over his administration. Less than 3 years into his presidency, while traveling across the country on a tour he labeled a voyage of understanding, Harding took ill in Alaska. He made a speech in Washington State and then went by train to San Francisco. The doctors thought he had food poisoning, but he became worse and died, and with it the possibility of impeachment. We are fortunate to have had men of substance, wisdom, and integrity in the presidency, most remembered with respect. Warren G. Harding's place in history has not been enhanced by the passage of years. As we study the presidency, we see over and over again that history matters.
History Matters is made possible in part by the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities and Louisiana Cultural Vistas magazine.